All right, let's turn to Psalm 42 tonight. Psalm 42. Here's Psalm 42, and we'll begin reading verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calls and deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. I've entitled my devotion tonight, A Thirst for God. We see here the context to the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. Certainly the context of this entire psalm is one of discouragement. You can tell that he is very cast down. This is the language of the psalm. It's a psalm of spiritual depression. And we really don't know who wrote the psalm. I mean, there's been certainly speculation, but there's no way we can know for sure. He's not identified, but what we do know is very, very personal. We see personal pronouns. I, me, mine. All over Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 as well. Sometimes they're coupled together. We see to the chief musician a contemplation of the sons of Korah. These were Levites who led worship in the temple. Probably the disciples of that Korah that you are thinking about, that Korah who led a rebellion of 250 leaders against Moses and died. It's Numbers chapter 16. God judged Korah, and God judged those leaders, but not the sons of Korah. These men, by the time of David, were leading in worship. We see here this deep longing, this deep aching thirst, don't we? Beginning in verse 1, we see this image of a deer. As the deer pants for water brooks, so my soul for you, O God. Now look, you've probably seen this verse in a nice pretty cup before, and it's got the little deer, and it's licking up the water, and it's all so sweet. But that's not really the context of the psalm. Context of the psalm is one of hardship and trouble. And so the pretty little picture on the coffee mug is probably not very accurate. The picture here is a deer who's maybe all run from a hunter. Or maybe there's been some, you know, drought in the land and there's not enough water to go around for animals. The picture here is the psalmist saying, I feel like that. Struggling, thirsting, longing for something to drink. That's how the psalmist feels. He feels pain, and what it's doing for him is it's driving him to worship. And brethren, I said last week, I'll say it again, anything in your life that drives you to thirst for God is a good thing. In the providence of God, he sends trials in our life to drive us to worship. To show us, remind us of our great need, because we have a tendency to be self-reliant. So what is God doing in his providence? He is driving out self-reliance. He is, as Paul Washer said before, this is true and wise, God is creating weakness in us. It's true. He is. It's right. As Spurgeon said this, meditating on this verse, ease he did not seek, honor he didn't covet, but the enjoyment of communion with God was an urgent need for his soul. He viewed it not merely as the sweetest of all luxuries, but as an absolute necessity, like water to a stag. Often, brethren, don't we see communion with God as, you know, a luxury, and we'll make time for that if we can, and it's part of the ebb and flow of our happy life, but that's not the context of Psalm 42 or 43. The psalmist is longing for water, not out of luxury, but out of necessity. It is life or death. He says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Brethren, this is a sign of life. Living things thirst. And spiritually living things thirst for God. It's our greatest longing. It's our immediate need. It is a sign of life. So I would ask you, do you thirst for God? Do you thirst for God? Do you thirst for a righteousness not of your own? Do you thirst for the things of God? Do you thirst for the Word of God? Do you thirst for fellowship with God and fellowship with God's people? Do you thirst for hearing the Word of God read and preached and applied to you? Thirst for God, brethren, it's a sign of life. The non-believer does not thirst for God. The non-believer wants to get away from the things of God. This is a mark of true faith. That even when times of trouble and trial and discouragement come, and they do, and they will, your soul longs for God. And then he asks, when shall I come and appear before God? In verse 2. When shall I come and appear before God? Now again, these sons of Korah, they were temple workers, right? And they led worship in that setting. They long to gather with God's people and to worship God. They're not there. That's one of the causes of frustration. So let's think about this for a minute. What's the source of their trials, or his trials? What's the source causing this thirst? We see in verse 3, one of them is the mocking of enemies. Look again at verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Now, you know, atheism is a relatively new system. You should not read these as atheists saying there is no God. Rather, these are mockers, right? Mockers saying, you say God's for you. You say that you're in covenant relationship with the one true living God. Well, where is your God? Because you're going through trouble and pain and sorrow just like everybody else, just like we go through. So where is your God? This is causing pain. You're accusing him of being abandoned or forgotten by God. A second source of pain can be seen, I believe, in verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitudes. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. But now we're getting a little bit deeper. So now we see that the psalmist is in some context, it's keeping him away from this pilgrim's feast that we've talked about a number of times in our studies of the Psalms together. Looking forward to that journey up the great mountain, up to Jerusalem, gathering with God's people, and now they're not able, he's not able to join in. And so there's joy in remembering, and there's pain in remembrance, because he's not able right now to join the great multitude in the house of God. You also see in our psalm the pain of physical distance from Jerusalem. Skip down to verse 6, and I'll show you this other source of pain causing thirst. Verse 6, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan, and from the heights of Hermon, and from the hill Mazar." This is far away from Jerusalem. Frankly, you know, commentators aren't exactly sure where this is. It's not the temple. It's not gathering with God's people. So he's physically now a long way from the saints and from the gathering of the saints. And then in verse 7, we see another source of pain and conflict is this crushing feeling of being overwhelmed. Look at verse 7 with me. This is poetically spoken, "Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me." Again, a poetic way of expressing. We've all perhaps seen a waterfall before and heard the crashing sound. He's saying, "I feel crushed. I feel overwhelmed by the trials of life." Acknowledging here that God is the one who is bringing those things and sustaining him, but he is an overwhelmed person. Have you ever been overwhelmed? Have you ever felt in your own life questions about, can I endure this trial? Can I make it through this season? You ever looked at your list of priorities and said, I don't know how I'm going to get through this list? You ever looked at your bank account and said, I don't know if there's going to be enough to see me through? Have you ever been overwhelmed? He's overwhelmed. And God is good. And God, through these hardships and pain, is causing thirst. You don't get verse 1, this longing and thirst for God and pain and hardship without the pain and hardship. And now, brethren, see the help. Help in the thirst. Help in his thirst. Look at verse 5 with me. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" Brethren, have you ever felt cast down? Has it ever been hard for you to see the sunshine of God's grace? Have you ever read the Word of God and you just felt so distant from God? Has your soul ever felt disquieted within you, where there was just this deep sense of discomfort? It might keep you up at night. It might keep you from food. It might keep you in food. It might keep you stressed out. It might be affecting your health. It might be affecting your relationships. It might be affecting your walk with the Lord. It might be affecting your walk with God's church. Have you ever been disquieted within you? There's hope. That's what he reminds himself in verse 5. Listen, hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now, brethren, I mentioned this in the context of last week's psalm as well, Psalm 63, but I just think it bears repeating. In the time of your struggles and your pain, don't just listen to yourself. This is the wisdom here of Martin Lloyd-Jones in his book, The Spiritual Depression. Don't just listen to yourself gripe and complain and churn in your mind these dark thoughts. Speak to yourself, preach to yourself, remind yourself, hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Here's Martin Lloyd-Jones. You have to take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself, preach to yourself, question yourself. So you must say to your soul, why art thou cast down? What business have you to be disquieted? You see the psalmist doing that here. He's questioning himself. Why are you thinking this way? And he's preaching to himself, hope in God. So, brethren, when you go through times where you feel like, verse 7, the billows and waves are smashing all over you, and you don't know what to do, tell yourself the truth. God is in control. It's His billows. God is sovereign. God loves me. How do I know God loves me? He sent His only begotten Son to purchase me by His own blood. Remind yourself to hope in God. He knew that the countenance of God, the face of God, has been turned to Him. And so now He is reminding Himself. He's preaching to Himself. So brethren, when your soul is disquieted within you, preach to yourself, speak truth to yourself, remind yourself of the truths of the Bible, remind yourself of the great verses of the Bible, Romans 8:28. Remind yourself of the nature and character of God, remind yourself of all that our God has done for you. Preach the gospel to yourself. Secondly, remember that all things that come to pass by the wise providence of God. Again, in verse 7, I mean, we've already mentioned it, I'll just make mention again. All your waves and billows have gone over me. What is the psalmist doing? The psalmist here is reminding himself again in poetic language that there is not one trial or struggle or valley or blessing or mountaintop, or anything else that comes along your path that God Himself did not ordain for you. In other words, remind yourself that God is in control. That everything that comes to pass by His hand. And then remind yourself that God works all things together for good for those who love Him, for those who are called according to His purposes. Remind yourself that you are His child. Remind yourself of the simple things that we spoke about tonight, that God is creating witness in you so that you will rely on Him. Remind yourself that anything that comes into life that causes you to thirst for God is good, even if it's hard. And brethren, allow this to point you to our Savior Jesus. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Jesus, who is truly God and truly man, who purchased us by His blood. Brethren, Jesus, who suffered on behalf of His people. Jesus, who was plunged under the waterfall of God's wrath. Jesus, who was wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Brethren, there's times in your life where you might feel like you're being crushed. You're not being crushed. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. You're not being crushed. You're going through trials. You're going through discouragement. But you are not forsaken. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. And even in the midst of our pain and suffering, He always calls us His own. His children. You're never left. You're never forsaken. Now again, in verse 10, as with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? We see the refrain again, the enemies of his life. And here we have the psalm closing with the great question, why are you cast down, my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Brethren, preach the gospel to yourself. Preach to yourself. Speak to yourself. Remind yourself of the things that you know are true. And when those waves come crashing, remind yourselves that everything that God has ordained is right. And He will hold you fast. He will keep you. And He will never let you go. Our Lord, we thank you for Psalm 42. We thank you that we have an example of a brother in Christ, purchased by the same blood that purchased us, numbered among the redeemed that we will one day meet in glory. We're thankful we have the example of this brother's prayer. Lord, we recognize that you're creating trouble and sometimes suffering and hardships for a purpose. You allow us to go through these seasons of struggles for a good reason. And I pray, Lord, it would be a means to create thirst in our hearts, so that we can hope in God. Help us in this, we pray. Help us, we pray, to be a seeking people who seek your face. Lord, I pray for the saints in the room who are struggling. Lord, I pray that this psalm will be a help to them. A resource, a psalm they bookmark in their heart and mind, and maybe in their Bible they go back to. Often, they read and contemplate and even pray through. Help us, we pray and we ask in our Savior Jesus' name. Amen.